All I Ever Wanted Was the World. Written by M. West Bell. Read by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, Our Flag Means Death. Ed knows what it is to want. To have a sucking, grasping hole in your chest, like a dark whirlpool that tries to swallow everything that crosses its path. He remembers the cold weight of coins in his palm the first time he picked a pocket, the burn of the rope that fateful night on the docks, as he discovered that his mother hadn't been entirely right. Maybe God decided what you were born with, but if you wanted badly enough, you could take. You could remake the world with your own two hands. The trouble with wanting, he's found, is that it never seems to stop. Not the kind that he has. Over the decades, he's fed it gold and death, violence, ships, admiration. The covetous creature in his guts had eaten it all and reached out its inky tentacles for more and more and more. When he heard about this so-called gentleman pirate, this wild man doing things all the wrong way round, he wanted that, too. The beast inside would devour this rare novelty and perhaps spit out a few unreasonably shiny buttons, and then on to the next. But wanting Steed Bonnet turns out to be unlike anything he's felt before. When he first boards the Revenge, it seems like the same old avarice under his skin. They've got a bird guy, for fuck's sake, and the knowledge that some other guy has something he doesn't makes his skin prickle. Upon further inspection of the ship, the Revenge is chock full of fascinating things. Books and weird tiny ships and chandeliers. All sorts of rich asshole stuff. He's been a little off his game lately, sure. But wanting, taking, having is in his nature, all the way down to his bones. And yet, when Steed shows him round his quarters with such glowing pride, when he takes him inside the closet packed with the most luxurious fabrics Ed's ever seen, he doesn't feel the usual clawing hunger inside his chest. In fact, he finds himself feeling warm. It's not that Steed doesn't have fine things, treasures worth coveting. Ed knows he's wealthy, ostentatiously wealthy at that, but as far as he can tell, Steed has absolutely no possessive instinct at all. He's all too happy to pour another glass of that fine brandy of his, offer up his copper tub for a luxurious soak, with soap and everything. Volunteer the talents of his loyal, more or less, scribe to record any of Ed's personal tales of his time at sea. He's barely gone an hour before he was giving up anything Ed took a second look at. At first, a bitter voice in the back of his head that sounds a bit like Izzy, actually, hisses that it's easy for a rich man to be free and easy with his possessions. What would he know of lack? What would he know of wanting? But the first time Steed drapes one of his dressing gowns over Ed's shoulders, it's almost too much. He can't look at himself in the mirror at first, so he looks at Steed's face instead, and that moment feels like getting struck by lightning, or whipped in the balls. The joy and satisfaction shining through Steed's smile is entirely foreign to him, a light bright enough that it makes the greedy monster inside shy away. Mulberry can be a challenging color, Steed is saying, adjusting the gown and smoothing his hands over the lapels, but you pull it off beautifully. Quite fetching, if I do say so myself. I can pull anything off, Ed says automatically. And fuck, that sends his mind off in an entirely different sort of direction. He's afraid, suddenly, to meet Steed's eye in the mirror, and he forces himself to look at his own reflection instead. He really is pulling it off. The lush color of the satin looks even richer against his skin. Even his untrained eye can see that. The robe is surprisingly heavy. He's used to the weight of leather. The way that it molds and warms to his body. This feels more like it's gliding over him, cool and smooth when it whispers against his skin. It's something part of him has longed for since that first tantalizing touch of silk, and it occurs to him that there has been nothing keeping him from fine fabrics all these years. Nothing except himself, and the gulf that exists between what he wants and what he allows himself to have. Epiphanies are weird things. Sometimes one hits you while you're hanging someone upside down from the yardarm by his big toes. Sometimes it's when you're wearing another man's robe. Something on your mind? Steed asks, interrupting his reverie. Ed looks over at him, and he knows his own eyes must be wide and lost. But Steed taps the side of his nose, still smiling. If you're wondering if I've got slippers to match, I do. Ed blinks and curls his toes inside his black boots. Well, don't tease me, mate. Let's try the slippies. The robe and slippers go back in the closet. But Ed Keepsteed's smile close to his chest. It pops into his mind later, when he's tucked away in a private cranny of the captain's quarters. Or is it the captain's quarters now? With his hand on his cock. And wouldn't that be something, if Steed Bonnet were to see him like this, leaning up against the wall with his trousers open and shoved just far enough down his thighs to get a good grip, and smile like that. He bites the inside of his cheek to stifle a groan. He hasn't been in close enough quarters that it mattered for years now, but a lifetime habit dies hard. The thought of Steed makes his hand fly faster, the heated knot in his guts go tight. It's been nearly as long since there was anyone that he wanted. Not like this, with specificity. There have been plenty of times he wanted a fuck, or when he knew his cock was the best, fastest way to get what he really wanted, whether that was power or trust or loyalty. Steed Bonnet has given him all that and more without a second thought, almost as though he'd rather give than take, and that's a damn twisty-turny thought to have when your brain is already fogged up with lust. Ed exhales hard, and lets his head fall back against the wall, closing his eyes and gritting his teeth as he feels the prickling build of pleasure. It wouldn't be like those other times, not with Steed. They'd lie on his smooth sheets, and Steed would smile at him, touch him with soft, steady hands. And maybe, for just a moment, Edward wouldn't want anything at all. The end.